What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 30. Same thing, different state for September 26, 2012. So with us today, we have Michael Stevenson, the program director for Huntsville Hospital. He's going to talk more about his own bio there in a second. But real quick, an introduction. So I am, of course, your host, Jeremy Jackson.
I am Claudia.
Lorena.
Priscilla.
Caitlin.
Monica.
Leslie.
And then on Skype with us, we have Michael. Michael, won't you give us a real quick hello?
Hey, how are you guys?
All right, good. So I'm going to turn that down real quick. It's pretty hot on the recording. So if it blasted your ears out on the live stream, I apologize. If not, then I guess we're good to go. All right, so Doc is not going to be with us for at least the first part of it because he's got a pretty busy training room today. So I wanted to give a few minutes maybe to get here. And I got a pretty good warm-up. Anybody been watching the NFL?
Of course.
And yes. Michael, feel free to chime in at any point. So y'all been watching the NFL?
Yes.
Y'all seen all the controversy about the NFL refs?
Yes,
oh,
of course.
Goodness. Yes.
Okay, do any of y'all know why the real refs are not working?
No, not really.
Nope.
No? Anybody?
No.
Michael?
Labor dispute, isn't it?
Yeah, from what I understand, it's something about like pensions and retirement funds, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I've heard about it is it's a union deal, and anytime you have union issues, those negotiations take a long, long time.
Yeah, so I'm not part of union, so I don't know that, but my big beef is all the people that are dogging these refs. So here's my perspective. Is we're taking like a high school architecture student and asking them to build the Freedom Tower in New York City where everybody's eyes are on them. I mean, these people are not qualified, but that's because the qualified people are being withheld from the spot. And so you're throwing somebody into this huge spotlight where, in all honesty, I mean, the NFL might be more important than the Freedom Towers than to a lot of Americans. And so you're dogging these guys that are trying their best to do this job that they're not prepared for and ready for. And you're just constantly bashing them. I saw something on the Green Bay News where the weatherman was making fun of them. You know, and there's people always on Twitter, Yahoo, whatever it is. Anywhere you look about NFL or something, complaining about the refs. But it's not their fault. They're just basically pulled out of nowhere to do this job. And so if you're going to talk bad about somebody, talk bad about the NFL, the commissioners, the union that they're part of, or even the real refs because they're part of the reason that we're having this problem. So anybody got any thoughts on that?
I mean, I would say, Jeremy, it's you look at what we do. What if you were to take somebody unqualified and put them in our position?
Exactly.
Going to have a massive change on the outcome of any situation, especially medically. And those referees that are, you know, in the union that are being withheld from their positions have been doing this for a long, long time. They got a lot of experience. You know, and you're taking guys that are not qualified and asking them to do the same job. It's difficult. I really feel bad for the replacement guys.
Yep. That's my deal. I mean, they're getting all these people sending them like hate mail and all this other stuff, but it's not really...
It's not their fault.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're just there to do their job that they really, like, I don't know. They're just not trained enough to do it, and they just put in there.
My thoughts exactly. All right, so Claudia, if you will minimize that. I forgot to pull up the document, so if you'll go to open up the internet.
Does it matter which one?
And then go to Docs. Google. It should be, see that little thing right there?
Right there?
So do you need us to pull up the email?
Do what?
Do you need us to pull up the email?
Do you have it on yours? If you have it on yours, then that's good. But let me pull it up in just a second. All right, so while we're doing this, I forgot because Doc usually is sitting here and pulls it up. I'm gonna pull up our deal. But while we're doing that, I'm gonna go ahead and have Michael. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us, you know, your job title, where you're working for, and then also don't forget to mention, you know, your family, because you gotta give a shout out to your wife and your kids there. So while you're doing that, I'm gonna be away from the mic for just 1 second.
Okay. My name is Michael Stevenson. I am the program manager for our sports medicine outreach program at Huntsville Hospital. The name of our department and the way we market ourselves is called Sports Center. It's just like the ESPN program. We capitalize the S and the C. We've got a nice little logo that we use and put up on signs to let people know that we're there when we're out covering events. Our program is probably one of the largest in the area. I don't know how big we are comparative in our own state. I think we're probably at the very least the second or third biggest. We may be the largest. We are definitely the largest and most concentrated group in the state. We have 29 athletic trainers, 30 counting myself. We cover 18 different high schools and middle schools. We cover Division I university. We cover Alabama A&M University. And we cover two professional teams, the Alabama Hammers, who are an arena football team, and the Huntsville Havoc, who are a minor league hockey team.
So real quick on that, the Alabama A&M doesn't have athletic training staff?
They do not. We provide their staff. They give the staff a budget to work with, and we provide them with two full-time athletic trainers, and then we kind of have an agreement with them for five GAs.
Oh, wow. So y'all got a lot of stuff going on over there for Alabama A&M, but they're providing the money for the supplies. You're just providing the manpower?
Absolutely.
Interesting. All right. So, again, I was away from the mic. Did you mention the shout out to your wife and your kid?
Not yet. I am married to my wife. Her name is Amanda. We actually celebrated our 8th anniversary yesterday. We have a son, Max, who just turned 2 at the end of August. And then we found out recently that we are expecting a second child who is due in about mid to late April.
Cool. Congratulations.
Well, thanks. We're excited. It's an exciting time in our house right now, since we just had our second birthday party and our anniversary, and then finding out that we're having another one. So it's exciting times around here.
Yeah, yeah. We have a almost 3 month old, and a 2 month and like two year and 2 month old, and then our anniversary is in the summer too. So summer's a pretty busy time for us, and I definitely understand where you are as far as you're going to be about to having two kids with all that work. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's exciting, though. I mean, you know, having children is something that we wanted to do. And being an athletic trainer, it can be difficult, you know, covering games and being in the field and having a family. But that's something that I try to make sure and emphasize to our staff. Family time, when you get a break away from work, make sure that you actually get away from work. Go spend some time with your family, with your husband, with your wife, whoever you have at home, and make sure your children understand that time is their time.
Excellent advice, and we'll end the show on that note. I'm just kidding.
What?
that's about all you need to know, right? If you're an athletic trainer, just make sure when you're away, you're away.
Absolutely. It's difficult, you know, and I mean, you know this, high school athletics is changing. I know I listened to one of your earlier podcasts where you talked about you were really away, got a lot of time away in the summer. That seems to be happening less and less with football workouts and basketball camps and things of that nature. So in the summertime especially, I stress to our staff to make sure that they get away.
Good, good, good. Real quick, I forgot to mention this at the top. If you want to find out more about Michael, you can follow him on Twitter, is at StevensonATC. So that's my Twitter pick, since we are talking to Mr. Michael Stevenson. It's again at StevensonATC on Twitter, and then you can find out more about what he does if you want to check him out later. Again, and I'll put that on our website. So if you want to check him out, and I know he retweeted the link for the live broadcast, so you can check him out or check me out on Twitter and get that from there. All right, so what's that?
I said, absolutely. I hope some of our staff is listening to this. I'd kind of put the word out and ask some of them to listen in today. So,
well, if I'm looking at the little thing, and it says I have 3 viewers on the live stream. So one of them is probably my wife, because she almost always listens. And then the other two, I don't know. So if you are listening and you would like to chime in, you know, maybe you're one of Michael's people there and you want to kind of poke fun at him or tell a funny story about him, you can go to todaysmeet.com/sportsmedicinebroadcast, and then we have somebody moderating there. So when you type your comments in there, then we'll kind of work them into the show. So again, that's todaysmeet.com/sportsmedicinebroadcast if you'd like to add your two cents to the show. All right, so Michael, we talked about your professional background. Some let's hear about your personal background, like where are you from, high school, college, all that stuff.
Sure. I graduated from high school from Smith County High School in Tennessee. Is in a very small town called Carthage, Tennessee. It's about 40 to 45 miles east of Nashville. I went to college. I started out at the University of Tennessee. I started out majoring in sports management, and I actually changed my major. And at the time, Tennessee didn't have a program, so I transferred to a smaller college called Cumberland University. It's in Lebanon, Tennessee. And it was close enough to my parents where I could live at home and go to school, so I did. I finished my athletic training degree there. I actually came to work here at Huntsville Hospital for a couple of years and decided that I wanted to go back to school and get my master's. So I actually went back to Cumberland and took an assistant position there and was an assistant athletic trainer for 2 years there while I was working on my master's. And when I finished my master's, I came back to Huntsville and took a job at Huntsville Hospital. So I've been here about 5 years on my second trip. I was here 2 years before. I've been in the field almost 9 years now. I was certified in early 04, actually. So it's been a good job. This has been a good place to be. It's been a lot of fun, and that program there, being in a smaller program at Cumberland, I think really helped prepare me to get out and get into the real world to work.
All right, so Claudia, you're going to be the red since you're sitting in doc seat. You're going to be the red.
Okay, so describe your work environment.
Right now, my work environment is purely administrative. As the program manager, I'm responsible for, like I said, 29 athletic trainers. That includes all of our GAs. And it's a lot to coordinate, a lot to work on. You have to ensure that those people are doing what they're supposed to be doing and they are where they're supposed to be. You have to make sure that since we provide a service to the schools, I need to make sure that the schools are happy. I spend a lot of time going out and visiting the schools, kind of stopping by at practices and seeing how things are going, looking in our athletic training rooms to see what kind of supplies and facilities upgrades we might need. And I'm out and about every Friday night, right now going to high school football games, where we cover a pretty large area. I usually try to pick one or two high school games that are close to each other, and go to one for the first half and the second half at the other one. And we'll talk about it a little bit later, but I've been finishing my Friday nights at what we call our Friday Night Injury Clinic, which is a special service that we offer here that I'm not sure many other organizations do. But I usually finish up my nights at our Friday Night Injury Clinic.
So on that note, you said purely administrative, but mm-hmm. then you tell me you're going out and visiting the schools. When you visit the schools, you're really just basically visiting your staff and their facilities?
Right. Right. I'm just kind of out and about, talking to our staff, making sure they're not having any problems, where, you know, all of our staff, our salaries are paid by the hospital, and then we are provided to the school at no cost to the school. So we don't work for the school. Sometimes, you know, we run into some issues, you know, about the timeliness of physicians' appointments and MRI appointments and, you know, parents are our parents. Sometimes we have problems there. And I'm just kind of go around and make sure the coaches are satisfied with what we're doing, just kind of show my face, talk to the athletic director, make sure there's not anything else that we can be doing. We started doing impact testing at all of our schools this year. So, you know, the first 2 or 3 weeks of football season was really spent making sure that that was running smoothly, making sure that we had the support at the schools that we needed. And they've been great. They've been really, really helpful to help us out and do whatever it is we need to do. So I kind of visit with our staff, with the folks who work with me, and then just kind of talk to the coaches and visit some of the kids.
All right. So what was I going to ask? There's the football players are over there watching film on the other side of this room, and there's not a physical wall separating us. I just put like empty boxes, so I get distracted because I'll listen to what
Absolutely.
They're saying
yeah.
sometimes, and then I forget what I'm about to ask, but. We'll just move on to the next question. I'm sure I'll come back to it.
Sure.
It was about your Friday Night Injury Clinic. Let's go ahead and talk about that. Is that, are almost all of y'all's games there on Friday nights? Because here in Pasadena, we have five schools sharing one stadium, so we have Thursday, Friday, Saturday games.
Right. That's something that we've run into this year. Alabama A&M actually just completed putting sport turf down on their field. So they, up until this season, they had been a little bit hesitant to allow high school games to play on their field because, you know, obviously the grass, the turf's going to take damage, and their division in football, they compete at what used to be the 1AA level. I guess it's the FCS level now. But their games obviously take priority for them. So up until this year, they didn't really want to get the field damaged. But now that they've got sport turf down, we can play there. We have two other stadiums in the city that we can use. And it's a different situation because we cover in Madison County, Alabama, which is where we are. There are three different school systems. There is Huntsville City, there is Madison City, and then there is Madison County. The Madison City, there are two high schools. They share one stadium. In Huntsville City, there are, I think, six high schools, and they share two, now three stadiums with Alabama A&M. And all of the county schools have their own stadium, have their own field facility on campus. So we have some games now. There is usually one game on Thursday night, and then everybody else plays on Friday. And, you know, you talk about the Friday night injury clinic. I don't mind going ahead and kind of expounding on that. What we do, we have our hospital is fairly big. We are one of probably the second largest hospital in the state. And we have a women's and children's hospital that is really like, you know, when my wife had our baby, we went to the women's and children's hospital and we were admitted there. And they have a pediatric emergency room at that wing of the hospital. And every Friday night during football season from 8 to 11 p.m., we staff our Friday night injury clinic with one athletic trainer, and then after the games are over, one of our orthopedic physicians who supports our program will come and cover the clinic. And it's kind of a backdoor, you know, walk-in way for us to expedite getting kids in and out of the emergency room for injuries that they might have gotten during a football game on Friday night.
All right. Sounds good. I'm sure we'll come back to some of those other topics here in a second.
Sure.
I know Monica has our first student, well, besides Claudia. Claudia was filling in for Doc, so Monica has our first student question.
What's your favorite thing about Alabama?
My favorite thing about Alabama? It's difficult to say. You know, I really like I like living in the South. Obviously, I'm from the South, and I've visited around. I've traveled a good bit with my job. I like the fact that Huntsville is a bigger sort of town, but it's not so big that you don't know anybody. It's very rare that my wife and I don't go out to eat and I don't see somebody I know. So I like the fact that it's kind of got a friendly feel to it. The hospitality here is great. The weather is great. The school systems are great for our whenever our kids get to be old enough to go to school. So I like a lot of things about Alabama. It's difficult to really say one thing. Probably the food. I'm a big eater. The food here is great. Everything's cooked in, you know, grease and lard. It just makes it that much better. It's incredibly unhealthy, but everything's great here.
All right. So you said from being from the South. So down here in Houston, Texas, we would almost consider you like a northerner, since you know you're at the northern end of the. Isn't Huntsville at the northern end of Alabama?
It is, absolutely. We are about 25 miles from the state line of Tennessee.
And then you're from Tennessee, so I mean you're borderline Yankee for us down here in South Texas.
Compared to you guys, I'm a northerner.
That's all right though. You're still below what my buddy from Pennsylvania calls the Mason-Dixon line. We always have little arguments about being from the South. He said, you know, I grew up on the Mason-Dixon line, so I'm not really from the North or the South, and so.
Absolutely.
But you're well south of that, so we're good.
What is the temperature like there during football?
I would say I don't know for sure. I saw this question earlier and meant to look and kind of compare it to what you guys have in Houston. I don't know how much humidity you have there during football. The temperature is usually not very bad. We're, you know, mid high 90s when football starts. Right now we're kind of in that transition to fall. You know, the high yesterday was about 75, or the high Monday was about 75. So it was beautiful weather. for football. But the worst part is when football starts, we can start practice the first Monday in August. And I would imagine, just like you guys in, there in Houston, it is extremely hot. You know, it's 98, 99, 100 degrees some days. The humidity is the big difference here. We have rampant humidity is what I call it. And it's not uncommon for the heat index on a day when it's 98, the heat index could very easily be 110 or 111 here, just because it's so humid, which adds a lot of stress, and it adds a new facet to the job of the athletic trainer, especially when they're covering football. You know, you're talking about body fluid loss through sweat. Weight is a big deal. It's a challenge, to say the least. So I don't know, Jeremy, how does that compare to what you guys have there?
It sounds like it's pretty much the same. I mean, there in August, it's real hot. Like, even out there today, it's probably going to be 90 degrees. You know, humidity is, it's Houston, so a 50% humidity would probably be like a really, really good day. You know, it's pretty high because we're 30 minutes from Galveston, but even at that, we're like 5-10 minutes from the Ship Channel, which is, you know, a pretty big body of water.
Absolutely.
So humidity here is a normal deal. So it seems like it's probably about the same. You're working about the same conditions.
You know, I just pulled up my Weather Channel app here on my phone that I use fairly frequently. And I mean, the temperature here right now is 77. The humidity is 52. I mean, it feels like, you know, about 80 right now. That's pretty normal for this time of year. And like you said, 50% humidity is relatively low. It's the temperature, the weather here during football season is a challenge. I'll say that.
All right. So since you were doing, I figured I'd just go ahead and pull up ours. This is 84 and 75% humidity here in Pasadena. So, you know, maybe just a little bit warmer, but it's more or less about the same, right?
Absolutely.
So we're forgetting about the, there you go. So everybody's pulling it up on their smartphones.
It's, you know, that's something that I used very frequently. You know, when you're covering practice, it's something you got to keep an eye on. You got to keep an eye on what the heat index is, and you got to make sure that the coaches are willing to adjust their water breaks and practice breaks accordingly.
All right. So you briefly talked about this, but wait, can you?
I don't think we can.
Can you hear that at all? Let me see.
Is it on?
All right, so, yeah, the switch might be off. I'm going to go ahead and say it, and then we'll figure out what's going on. All
sure. Right,
so tell us about your typical weekly schedule.
It's, you know, it depends on the week. It's different every week, but right now, I meet with my supervisor every Monday morning at 9. We kind of talk about what's been going on the last week, what we have upcoming, what kind of meetings I've got going on this week. I spend most of my mornings in the office, getting some paperwork done, working on we've got some guidelines that we've been working on, some policies and procedures that we're working on. I spend a lot of time doing that kind of stuff. We're updating the emergency action plans at all of our schools right now. So I'm helping people do that, answering questions. And in the afternoons, you know, some afternoons I am in the office, some afternoons I have meetings, some afternoons I'm out at a school. Now, like I said, every Friday night, I've been out and about at a game, just kind of hanging out on the sidelines, watching our guys work, making sure that everybody's doing what they're supposed to do. And, you know, we've got a really, really good staff. I can't say enough about our staff here. We've got a lot of people that are very good athletic trainers that care a lot about the profession, and they take really good care of their kids.
What about after football season?
Basketball is a very big sport here. Volleyball, football, basketball, baseball, all of those programs have a lot of success at the schools that we cover. So I will be out and about at a lot of basketball games. We have, in this area from this county, I think last school year, I want to say we had something like 16 kids at our high schools that signed, 16 boys basketball players that signed Division I scholarships. So I'll be out and about in the evenings at basketball games, just kind of out watching. I enjoy basketball. It's probably my favorite sport. And you know, the administrative stuff, it will still take priority. you know, I work on sort of going out and meeting with physicians' offices, talking to them about how we're handling concussions and things like that. We're going to do a lot of work on that aspect. But I also try to make sure, you know, I stress that free time and that me time, I guess, family time to our staff. I make sure that I'm trying to at least attempting to do that with my own family as well.
Now my wife is a stay at home mom, and so we have two boys. The other day, I don't know, it was Thursday or something, she came up because we had a little social deal for our student trainers, and you know, I took my son around on the golf cart. Do you ever get to take your boy out, you know, to any of the basketball games? I'm sure it's really tough to do a football game, but to like basketball games and stuff like that.
I haven't yet, just because I'm not sure that he's ready for that. You know, he's two, so getting him to stand in one spot for an extended period of time is difficult, which you know. Yeah. He will. I'm sure he will. And he came. My wife actually brought him out last year. I was still covering a school last year. She brought him out to a game, and the one game she came to, he had actually taken his first steps a day or two before. Mm-hmm. So she brought the video camera. We got him out on the field while the teams were warming up and got some video. We put a video up on YouTube about it. So it's, you know, I try to make sure that my family is involved as much as they can be.
Yeah, I think it really helps connect, because then your wife begins to like see and appreciate what you do. And then you see, you know, what all she's doing. She gets a little bit of a break, and then your kids see what you do. So,
absolutely. And my wife works full time. She does. She is a mammographer for Huntsville Hospital. So, you know, because we both work full time, we make sure that when we do get that time together, even if it is at a game, that we make sure that our child is involved, and that's only probably gonna grow. That involvement is only gonna grow as they get older.
Mammographer. That sounds like mammograms, maybe like breast.
That's exactly what she does. Yeah.
What is the worst part of your job?
The worst part of my job? That's tough, because if my staff is listening, that's a hard one. making sure that people are doing what they're supposed to be doing is probably the worst part. You know, this any kind of discipline issue you ever have at work is always difficult. You know, making a decision that you know is not going to be necessarily favorable or agreed upon by everybody is difficult. But that's part of administration. That's part of management. I'm sure that you guys as students don't always agree with every teacher you have. And it's difficult. It's difficult for me because I feel responsible for our staff, and I understand most of them have families and significant others. And, you know, I take that stuff into account. And it's difficult. That's probably the worst part is anything that's going to be unpopular or disagreed upon is probably the worst or the hardest part. Let me say that.
All right. Let me jump in real quick. Do you happen to know a guy named Brandon Strode?
I do actually. He just sent me a tweet on Twitter. Wanted to know how to join in the conversation.
Yeah. So yeah, I was going to say, Brandon, if you're still listening, it's to date. We can't use the chat feature on the Ustream because it's a school district and they block any sort of chat features. And so, you know, we have to use what works. So the website again is todaysmeet.com. So todaysmeet.com/sportsmedicinebroadcast. Or if you go to our website, there's a link to that on the side. So if you can click on our website, which I think is on my Twitter profile. There's a link to that on the side, or it's todaysmeet.com/sportsmedicinebroadcast, and then you can kind of chime in, or, you know, if you want to send me some tweets, hopefully I'll catch those.
So. Yeah, Brandon works for us. He works at one of our high schools, Columbia High School. He's a good guy. Does a good job for us.
Well, what has been, like, the best part of your job, or, like, the favorite thing you do?
You know, it's hard to say. It's hard to say one best part. When I first got out of school, way back when, the very first year I was out of school, I started working at the hospital, and I wound up helping cover men's basketball at Alabama A&M. And my first year there, I was there 2 years covering men's basketball. My first year there, we won the conference championship in the regular season. We went to the conference tournament and won the conference tournament. So we got to go participate in the NCAA tournament, which was a big deal. It's the first and only time that Alabama A&M has ever been to the NCAA tournament in men's basketball. That was pretty special. That's been one of the best parts of my job, is enjoying that success and knowing that the coaches, I always felt like the coaches appreciated what I did. But when we won that championship, you know, the players get to get up and cut the nets down. I'm not sure if you guys have ever seen that on television. And the players cut one net down, and then the coaches and the support staff got to cut the other part of the net down. And the head coach, when they moved the ladder to the second net, the head coach gave me the scissors and let me get up there first and cut down a piece of the net, which was pretty special.
So were they your scissors that you pulled out of your pocket or what?
They were, actually. The scissors they used were the scissors that I actually had in my kit. So it was, you know, it was that was pretty special. I've still got that piece of net. I got it in my office. Unbeknownst to me, there was a guy that took a picture of me cutting down the net, so I've got that framed in my office. And you know, going back to making sure your family's involved, my wife was there with me. She was able to come to the conference tournament. The coaches allowed her to come and stay with us in the hotel. So my wife, actually, when the game was over, she got to come down on the floor in the arena. She was one of the first people that I got to talk to after the game was over. And it was, you know, there are a lot of people that work college athletics for a long, long time and never get to experience stuff like that. And I knew then, and I know now, that was special, and I appreciate that. You know, the other aspect that's probably the best part is seeing your kids have some success, the kids that you cover. I've got one guy right now that was at the high school that I covered that was we won in my 3 years there at that school. He was there all 3 years, and we won the state basketball championship two of those 3 years. He is now playing in Alabama, you know, and I still keep in touch with him. That's pretty special. You know, I know how busy he is and kind of how successful he is, and it'd be very easy for him to just kind of forget the athletic trainer, but you know, he got injured a couple of times, and I took care of him, which is what we're supposed to do. But it's pretty nice, pretty special to have that relationship with those kind of kids.
Definitely. I've talked to a lot of people, and, you know, they said the best part about this is the relationships. And usually it's on the heels of, I don't know if travesty is the right word, but when the athlete gets injured and then they, you know, maybe it's an ACL, and then they come back their senior year to play, or you know, it's a sprained ankle, and then they come back to play in 2 weeks or whatever it is. But, you know, it's important to them, and that's the reason we do what we do. So,
absolutely. And, you know, and it's different when you have – all of that took place really kind of before I had children. And after my son was born, I had seen some kids get injured. And, you know, and you have – I consider, you know, ACL and stuff like that is stuff that you can come back from. You know, that was probably the scariest moment I had last year, was I had a kid in the very last playoff football game of the year, about 2 minutes left in the game, got knocked unconscious, and he was unresponsive on the field for about two and a half minutes. You know, and knowing that kid is okay and he's playing this year, and when I go to the school, when I visit the school he's at and see him, and, you know, his parents have thanked me and he's thanked me and we keep in touch. You know, that's pretty special. You know, and it's not – I remember getting home that night and really being bothered by the fact that was somebody's son, you know, and I had never really looked at it that way before I had my own child. But it made it that much more important that I took care of that kid the right way and did the right things and made sure he was okay.
Absolutely. All right. Lodi's got something from...
Mike said...
make sure you talk into the mic.
Mike does an amazing job and has been involved in every level of sport our department covers.
Well, he's not getting a raise, so.
But see, you just got to take it for what it is. Maybe he's just complimenting his boss there. See?
Absolutely. I think a lot of Brandon. He's a guy that when I was working at Alabama A&M, I actually hired him to be a graduate assistant for us. And then I left and went back to school to get my master's. And when I left, he took a full-time job here, and he's been here ever since. So he's a Northern transplant. He's from Northern Illinois. So, you know, he's a Yankee, but he does a really good job for us. And we've got, I mean that. I'm not. That's not. I'm not really, you know, blowing up their ego or trying to inflate their ego at all. We have a really, really, really good staff here.
That's good. It makes your job a little bit easier then, huh?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So Leslie's got, this is a typical question we ask guests.
Have you ever been treated by another expert athletic trainer?
Have I ever been treated? I have not. You know, believe it or not, I throughout playing sports in high school, I never really got injured. The only time I got injured, I didn't get injured until I got to college and was goofing around playing football with a bunch of buddies of mine, and I separated my AC joint, and that hurt. That hurt pretty bad, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do at the time. I was working for a minor league baseball team at the time through my sports management degree. Working on that degree, I was working part time this summer for the minor league baseball team in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I got to talk to their athletic trainer a little bit and started discussing my injury a little bit later on, and that really kind of sparked my interest. So I've never really been treated by another athletic trainer, but I've dealt with a lot of athletic trainers, good and bad.
All right, so Brandon posted he's not sucking up. He said, "I swear." So it's good. So, genuine. You're doing a good job. So.
Well, I appreciate it.
All right, Monica.
Where do you see yourself in 5 to 10 years?
Oh man, that's a difficult one. You know, I hope I'm doing the same thing. I really believe in what we're doing here. I think we have a fantastic program. I think we have an incredible setup here. We have really supportive physicians. Our orthopedic physicians that work with us for our sports medicine program are fantastic. I can't say enough about them. We have a really good staff, and we are making a lot of progress in really kind of starting to gain some notoriety for what we do and the way we do things. So I mean, it sounds kind of corny, but I hope in 5 to 10 years I'm doing the same thing. You know, I love what I do. If I didn't, I wouldn't do it. And, you know, I hope that our program continues to grow. We don't cover every school here in this area yet. But I would love for us to continue to just kind of let our work speak for itself and continue to have our program grow in both numbers and notoriety, I guess.
Here at Pasadena High School, we're sponsored by Memorial Hermann.
Right.
But we also used to, before we were sponsored by Memorial Hermann, we would have like two or three outreach type athletic training services that would contact us. Do y'all have basically some competition there in your area, or are y'all pretty much the show?
We do. I mean, there's actually another group in Huntsville. It's a little bit different setup for them. They work directly for the physicians. Their athletic trainers do. And I don't know enough about that to know whether that's better or worse. You know, Huntsville Hospital is the only place outside of me working on my master's. It's the only place I've ever worked. I believe that, you know, I believe in what we're doing, and I think we have a really good quality program. I know they're athletic trainers. We cross paths with them almost daily because our schools are in the same regions and areas, and we play each other in a lot of different sports. So, you know, we're aware that each other are there. We know each other are there. There's not as much competition now as there was, a few years ago, I don't believe. I don't believe that it's as competitive. You know, we're not kind of beating each other's brains in, and we're not out beating the path to try to, you know, show each other up. You know, for our program, I just kind of worry about what we're doing and focus on us and really just kind of want us to worry about what we can control, and we can only control ourselves and our program and our setup. So, you know, there is some competition also on the state level. There's a physical therapy group that is the quote unquote official sports medicine provider for the state athletic high school association, which is fine. You know, we cross paths with those guys when they cover all of the state championship events. So when we have our teams make it that far, we cross paths with them. It's very cordial, very friendly all the way across the board. So.
Very cool. All right, we got just a couple of few more questions.
Sure.
Here, I used to be NATA certified, but then I let that go because, honestly, it was just costing me too much money and I wasn't planning on leaving Texas. So
right.
Here in Texas, I can be just licensed as an athletic trainer without being nationally certified. How does that work there? Because I know it's different from state to state. How does that work there in Alabama?
It is. You have to be nationally certified in Alabama. We do have a state athletic training board that issues our license. So that's due. We renew that every year. I think it rolls over December the 1st is when the new year actually rolls over. So you have to be nationally certified to get your license. And I do know that Texas is different. That's about all I know. And when I'd asked you about that magazine the other day, that's, the magazine that I wrote the article for, which we'll talk about in a minute, but it's something that NATA members usually get for free.
Mm-hmm.
My assumption was that either you weren't an NATA member or that you weren't nationally certified anymore because you worked in Texas. I don't have a lot of problem with that. It's different state to state, and it's wherever you work. And, I don't think you pass the certification exam at one point. So, do you guys for state licensure, do you have to turn in CEUs every year?
Yeah, with the NATA, I think it's like 75 every 3 years, or is it 90 every 3 years?
I think it's changed now. I want to say it's 60 every two. I'm not sure. I don't remember right off the top of my head.
Yeah, so I think with the NATA, it was about 30 every year, and I think with the LAT, which is Licensed Athletic Trainer here in Texas, is about 25 a year,
right.
Or maybe it's 20-25 a year for right. CEUs, and so. And then it's about half or a quarter as much as the price. I mean, yeah, and I don't have all the benefits that I did with the NATA
sure.
website and going to the conferences and, receiving the magazines and the prestige and stuff like that, but it was $250 a year. So for me,
absolutely.
It's just...
I completely understand that. And, everybody on our staff is not an NATA member.
Right.
It is something that I would encourage. I don't look down my nose at anyone who obviously doesn't do it, especially for financial reasons. Having a family where, I work and my wife works and, we've got another child on the way. I completely understand the financial restrictions. The NATA membership is $200 a year and it can be expensive. That also takes care of my certification fee. I would advocate being a member and being as involved on your state level as you can. I won, there was an election for a non-officer seat for our executive state association executive council, which I was involved in, and I won the election. So I will actually be on the Alabama Athletic Trainers Association Executive Council starting January 1, and I'll have a 2-year term on that. So, I would advocate, as long as you're involved and you're advocating the profession, I think that's the best that we can do on an individual level.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, I'm looking at trying to get reinstated, but I don't know if I have all my paperwork for the CEUs.
Right.
It was like 2008 to 2010, and I have to turn in that paperwork from those CEUs. So I
right.
think I would like to have it back because, there are certain things that I could do if I, say I wanted to go to a summer internship there at Alabama, come work in your clinic for a couple of weeks, see how you guys do things. I would have to have the NATA. I couldn't just have the LAT. And so there's definitely advantages to that kind of thing. And, it does support my profession. So.
Right. Right. And that's working for a hospital. That's the one thing that's the one reason I would advocate you, anyone being an NATA member, with the way healthcare is changing, nationally, athletic training and sports medicine is going to change. I've been in the field certified since 2004, and I can tell you in 8 years, it's changed in 8 years. And I think it's going to continue to change. So we got to be ready to handle the change and manage the change. And, I think the better equipped we are to do that, individually, and then on the state level, and then obviously the regional level, and then nationally. I think it's a good thing. So, I would advocate doing it, but I definitely don't. I don't look down my nose or scoff at anybody who's not a member or even not certified. You know, if you're, as long as you're able to work in your state, hey man, that's great. And I wouldn't have come on the podcast. I wouldn't have agreed to do it if I didn't think you were advocating athletic training and sports medicine in the right way.
Excellent. I agree. I'm just now learning, get involved. You know, we have a Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Society called GHAS, and they have a pretty big student trainer workshop every year, you know, like 1,000, 2,000 kids, something like that. And I've just recently began getting involved, and I'm actually now the webmaster for the website. So it's not like I'm an officer, but it's still, at the same time, I'm getting involved in the smaller things to help out. And so,
well, again, absolutely. And I mean, you know, for your students in the room, you know, I mean, I'll tell them when I was in school, you know, I mean, I graduated high school in 1997. I had very little clue what an athletic trainer was when I graduated high school. So, I mean, the simple fact that these guys are now, you know, and that's been 15 years ago. And in 15 years, everybody at the schools that we cover, especially everybody here, knows what an athletic trainer is. And that's a big step forward. You know, and in 20 years, when your students have kids, 25, and they're participating in sports, you know, they're going to know, hey, when my son or daughter gets hurt participating in athletics, they need to go see the athletic trainer.
Exactly. All right, so we're only got about 5 more minutes with the kids before I got to let them go for lunch.
Okay.
Can you tell us about the article you wrote in Strength and Conditioning real quick?
Yeah, the article, Strength and Conditioning Magazine contacted us, you know, a couple months ago, wanted us to write an article about our program, kind of about some of the unique aspects we have. It's a different setup here than they had really seen. I think they're based in upstate New York. They don't really have anything like this up there. So they contacted, asked me a few questions about our program. And I wrote, you know, an article. It should be out. I think it comes out maybe in a week or two. It'll be in the October issue, which should be out fairly soon. And they actually, they wound up taking some sending a photographer in, taking some pictures, put us on the cover. So our entire staff is going to be on the cover of, Training and Conditioning Magazine. But it's, you know, it's really just a general article about our program, pretty much the same thing we've talked about today, you know, about our orthopedic guys, how well supported, we are from our orthopedic physicians. About our Friday night injury clinic, about the size and scope of our program. You know, we're pretty big and we cover a pretty big area. You know, and about how we provide all of this to the schools at no cost to the schools. It's really genuinely community service, on the hospital side of it. So.
All right. Very cool. So go ahead. Oh no. Yeah. I have to try and get a copy of that or maybe.
Absolutely. I tell you what, we ordered a bunch of copies. If we've got one, I'll send you one.
That'll work. And so then I can have the kids do a little current event or research.
Absolutely.
Or maybe afterwards we can have you come back on and talk about what they learned from your article. So.
Sure, that'd be great. Yeah, I'd be more than happy to do this, man. This has been a blast for me.
All right, so last question from me is, right now these kids that are in here are my Sports Medicine 1 kids. Do you know if in the high schools they have a sports medicine curriculum?
We don't have anything statewide. There are some rumblings and some work going on that we may attempt to order that. I'm not sure if you guys have, I think it's Health Occupational Sciences.
Yeah, we have that also.
Yeah, the HOSA program in the state of Alabama is really where sports medicine is located. When I was at a high school last year, we had one student who went to a state competition for sports medicine, and we helped him study and kind of get his typing skills up to par. And he wound up finishing, I think, 2nd in the state and went to the national competition. We were pretty excited for him. So I think the Sports Medicine 1, Sports Medicine 2 classes you guys have are fantastic, man. I would love for us to do something like that here.
Okay, real quick, Brandon, I think Lorena's a little nervous to talk or something. Brandon's been talking on there.
Sure.
He's saying, you know, the podcast is really cool, but he said he almost took a job in Texas. But the extra certification, yeah. So in Texas, I forgot. You can, even if you are nationally certified, you have to be state certified to work. So you can be nationally certified and then take the state test. But if you're not state licensed, then you can't work as an athletic trainer for more than 1 year in Texas.
Right. Right.
So that's what he was talking about there. And then said some people get into athletic training because of an injury, like you were saying, you got hurt and. You know, I've heard several different stories. People got into their field because they got hurt. And then, like, hey, this is interesting. So and they run
yeah,
with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, thanks, Brandon, for your comments. Claudia's got the very last question, unless...
Is there anything else you would like to share with your or with the listeners?
You know, just I really, you know, it's difficult to really pin one thing down. I'd like to share. I hope you guys, the students, have gotten something out of this. You know, and the title of the podcast was Same Thing, Different State, and that's something that I would definitely like to hammer home. There's no difference as far as athletic training and what you guys are doing there every day. And what we do at our schools every day. The ultimate goal is to make sure that the kids and the athletes can compete safely and facilitate healthcare whenever that need arises.
All right, so I'm actually going to let these guys go. So if you will, tell Mr. Stevenson thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
All right, so I typically will end it off with talking about our sponsors and stuff like that. Anything else that you wanted to talk about with me or anybody else before? The kids are gone now, so it'd just be me and you because Bill's been in the training room.
No, I'm good. I mean, you know, I appreciate the invite to come on. I really do. I'll be more than happy to come back anytime. Anytime you'd like to have us back on, any of our staff back on, I think we'd be more than willing to help you out.
Well, very cool. Anytime you have somebody that, you know, said, hey, I want to do that, or hey, I got a really cool idea, or, you know, we did something fun, or, you know, I had something crazy go on, and I'd like to just tell the students about it, something like that, then just
absolutely.
Let me know. And so.
Absolutely. We're actually entertaining the idea of doing our own podcast here. So,
well, if you, that can bring us me to the next thing, the sponsors. One of the people that helps me out a lot is Element OP. So, like, Element, you know, like the periodic table of elements, and then OP is an OP Taylor, OPIE. His name is Mark Cockrell at Element OP. He's, anytime I have a question, that's the guy I'll email or tweet or whatever. And he's always helping me out. And so he's got a really good deal about, you know, podcast equipment, stuff to start, stuff to think about before you start doing it. So you might check him out and then just see if he can help you get started if you're going to do that. So
sure.
All right. Well, I'm going to close it out. You're done. All right, so I already talked about somebody that supports us. Again, Pasadena Education Foundation. Memorial Hermann here is our sponsor. And then we also got to send a shout out to, it's Huntsville Hospital.
That's it.
Huntsville Hospital for lending us an hour with Mr. Stevenson. And Brandon, thank you for listening in. And I'm sure my wife was there too. From the words of Michael, when it's family time, make sure it's family time. So that's our words of wisdom. A lot of athletic trainers get burnt out and, you know, even divorced and stuff like that because they just spend all their time at the school. And, you know, some coaches expect them because, you know, like our football coaches, during football season, they spend more time up here than we do. However, they just have football season. They don't have volleyball at the same time, basketball, softball, baseball, and all those other sports. And so they just forget that, you know, we need some time with our family, too.
Absolutely.
So if you want to contact us, www.pasadenaisd.org/athletic-training. On there, there's a link to Ustream, Donors Choose, the Today's Meet, the Justin TV, which I didn't broadcast on Justin TV today because we're using Skype, and PHS Sports Med on Twitter, PHS Athletic Training on Google+, facebook.com/PHS Athletic Training. There's the app on Android, just if you want to listen to the podcast, or you can contact us on the office phone, 713-740-0310, extension 01312, which we haven't had anybody call in and leave us a message yet that I know of, but there's always time for a verse. For Mr. Stevenson, for Jeremy, for the Sports Medicine One Kids, that's a wrap.